Our speaker this morning is Brother Erwin Kalinske, and he will present an update of a discourse he gave to us some years ago. His title is Cosmology, but he has a new subtitle. The new subtitle is The God Particle. Cosmology, The God Particle. Brother Erwin.
Thank you, Brother Joe, and thank you, Brother Larry, for your prayer. Good morning, brethren. Our subject is cosmology, the Big Bang. For definitions, cosmos is an orderly, harmonious, systematic universe, and cosmology is a branch of metaphysics that deals with the universe as an orderly system. It's a branch of astronomy that deals with the origin, structure, and space-time relationships of the universe. For our introduction, we're going to quote Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. And in Psalms 19:1, we read, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And men shall speak of the power of thine awesome acts, and I will tell of thy greatness. Psalms 145, verses 3 and 6. For our table of contents, we're going to divide the talk up into three parts. The first part will be the invisible world. We're going to talk about God, the Logos, Lucifer, angels, and 14 billion years ago. The second part of our talk will be the visible world, the scientific approach, the creation of the universe, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and the development of science, and then will be the Big Bang Theory. The third part of our subject matter will be the visible world, the scriptural approach, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God of design, and the examination of the scriptural Big Bang Theory. This is not an insult to anyone, but I feel that we all live in a very small fishbowl. So what we'd like to do is take you from that fishbowl, and we're going to talk all about the universe. The invisible world. God is the self-existing one, recorded for us in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Logos is a God from John chapter 1, verse 1. The Logos is the only begotten of God, recorded for us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. The Logos is the master craftsman. He's the master workman, recorded for us in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30. And Lucifer is the son of the morning, recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And angels were created by the Logos, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And all of this took place 14 billion years ago. For the invisible world, we're going to consider God. God has no beginning, no end. My name is Yahweh. That would be the Jewish pronunciation. My name is Jehovah. That would be the Gentile pronunciation. And Haya, to be. God will be what he wants to be in each age or dispensation. And I am the self-existing one. And it's God of Genesis, and that would be the Elohim, we understand that any important person would be an Elohim, but God is the Elohim. And El Elyon is the creator, recorded for us in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 20, verse 22. The invisible world, we're going to talk about the Logos. The Logos is the only direct creation of God, recorded for us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. He's the firstborn of all creation, recorded for us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. The Logos is the beginning of time, Proverbs 8, 22 to 30. We could begin to measure time from the beginning of the Logos. And the Logos was an archangel. He was a cherub, recorded for us in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Next, we'd like to consider Lucifer. Lucifer was a morning star, recorded in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And Lucifer means morning star. And Lucifer was a cherub. He was and he had a very prominent position, recorded in Ezekiel 28, verse 16. Next will be angels. I only know of three angels by name. If anyone has any other names, I'd be glad to add it to the talk. The first name would be Michael, who would be an archangel, the Logos, and then Lucifer would be a morning star, and Gabriel, who is mentioned in the book of Daniel. The invisible world, and this would be an organizational chart of the universe. God is the supreme ruler, the creator of the universe. And Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," John 14, verse 2. So we would have the Logos created first, Lucifer, cherubim, seraphim, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, principalities, and powers. The question would come up, how many angels are there? So this would be a guess. It would be billions upon billions. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, it mentions that there are myriads of angels. In Jude 14, it mentions there are 10,000 of angels. And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, it says myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Our next consideration from Psalms 147, verse 4 and 5. He counts the number of stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. So the question may come to your mind, what has the stars to do with the angels? Well, we believe that if God and Jesus are so prolific in creating so many stars, we would assume that there's billions of billions upon angels. In the creation of the earth, we're going to talk about the morning stars who sang together because they were going to see something different. So we're going to quote from Job chapter 38, verses 5 to 7. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? Verse 6. On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? So the key verse that we like is of verse 7. It says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The angels were used to seeing stars created, but this was the first time that you'd have a concentration on the creation of the earth. And now we realize at the present time that there are billions upon billions of stars and billions of galaxies in our universe. Next, we're going to consider the visible world, and this would be the scientific approach. Scientific cosmology. There are three major theories. Someone created the universe, and that would be intelligent design. And this would be what is going on in all of the campuses at all of our universities. It's called the ID, intelligent design. Next consideration would be that the universe always existed. And a third consideration would be the universe created itself, and that would be the RD, or random design. Edwin Hubble discovered that the universe is constantly expanding, and this would prove the Creator. We hope to expand on that. So the correct view that we feel is correct is that someone created the universe. That would be intelligent design, and we attribute it to God the Creator. Years ago, there was a man named Ptolemy, and he lived from 90 to 168 A.D. And he said that the sun revolves around the earth, and his concept held for over 1,200 years. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, he knew that this was not correct, but Jesus came to save mankind. He was not there to tell all that he knew about the creation of the universe. Next, we have Nicholas Copernicus, and he lived from 1473 to 1543. And he proved that the sun is the center of our planetary system. And Galileo lived from 1564 to 1642. And he was an Italian scientist and astronomer. And he confirmed Copernicus' findings. Next, we'd like to consider Sir Isaac Newton. And he lived from 1642 to 1727. And he developed the law of gravity and discovered the visible light spectrum, which laid the foundation for future telescopic study. And Isaac Newton was very accurate in understanding the Bible. Our next consideration will be Albert Einstein, who lived from 1879 to 1955. And he developed the theory of relativity, which I don't know much about, but the theory of relativity proved that there would be a beginning of the universe. Now we have the understanding that we could create hydrogen bombs, so that would be the power of a hydrogen bomb. Our next consideration would be Abbé Georges Lemaître, who lived from 1894 to 1966. And he was the first scientist to promote the Big Bang Theory. And he's standing with Albert Einstein. We have two major observatories in the world. The first one would be the observatories in Hawaii on top of a mountain so they would not get any distortion from the lights on the earth. And the next great observatory would be on the mountain in Chile. Edwin Hubble lived from 1889 to 1953. And he was the first scientist or astronomer to discover that all the bright stars that you saw in the heavens were not just stars, but they were galaxies. And this was a major discovery. So what he decided to do is use the light spectrum color, and this would show the shift would prove that the universe is expanding at different speeds. George Gamow lived from 1904 to 1968, and he predicted infinitely hot starting conditions followed by rapid cosmic expansion. And this was a startling thought that he had. And it turned out that we're going to show that science has proved that it is true. And if you have good eyes, you will notice that it starts out at the beginning where it shows time began. And in the first split seconds, which the first split seconds right here, would it be involved with a God particle that the scientists have discovered at the present time. So as time went on, we would be at the end here where we have all the stars and galaxies. This would be another illustration on how the universe started. It started out with split seconds, and then all of a sudden it expanded, and now the scientists understand that with this field that they discovered from this subatom, that would be the beginning of matter. The Big Bang. The Big Bang was the beginning of everything, time, space, and the building blocks of all matter in the universe. The great cosmic clock began ticking some 13 billion years ago in a fireball so concentrated that matter and antimatter were created spontaneously out of energy. At the instant of creation, the universe was almost infinitely hot and dense. Then it began to expand and cool, and it is still expanding and cooling today. Two gentlemen, Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson, developed a huge antenna, and they were going to pick up sounds from the universe. And much to their amazement, when they turned it on, they were getting strange noises. So they decided to clean off all the pigeon dung that was on this huge antenna, and the sound continued. And what they discovered was the cosmic expansion at the beginning of creation. So they went from pigeon dung to the Nobel Prize. And this would be the echoes that they picked up. And this would be the echoes from the beginning of creation. And this would be very hot. Two more scientists are going to win. They did win the Nobel Prize for the picture of the backfire from the Big Bang. And I'll just like to read one paragraph here. It says, Arnzo Penzias and Robert Wilson stumbled onto the cosmic radiation while testing powerful radio receivers for Bell Laboratories in 1964. They were looking for the source of static heard on the early radios and found it was the microwave radiation coming from space. They were awarded a Nobel Prize in 1978 for their discovery. And this would be George Boot. He would be in charge of what we're going to talk about now when they send a satellite around the world. The hot Big Bang creation event. On April 24, 2012, newspapers around the world heralded a breakthrough by an American research team. The discovery made the front page headlines of the London Times for five consecutive days. American TV networks gave the story as much as 40 minutes of prime time coverage. What was all the fuss about? A team of astrophysicists had separated the latest findings from the Cosmic Background Explorer, that COBE satellite, and it was stunning confirmation of the hot Big Bang creation. So now we have comments from the scientists. Carlos Frank said, "It's the most exciting thing that has happened in my lifetime." And Stephen Hawking, "It is discovery of the century, if not of all time." And Michael Turner said, "It's unbelievably important. They have found the holy grail of cosmology." And George Smoot, who we mentioned before, he was the the project leader for the COB satellite, and he said, "What we found is evidence for the birth of the universe. It's like looking at God." And now we talk just a little bit about the God particle, and this has been in the newspapers for several weeks now. In the center, they have a 17-mile tunnel. It's located on the border of France and Switzerland. And you'll notice that it has a fantastic construction here on the upper part. On the upper part, what you see here would go through a tunnel for 17 miles. And what they would do is accelerate two protons that would come together and they would crash. And they discovered what they call this sub-atom, which would gather all matter. So this would be what they have discovered at the present time, and that is what they call the God particle. The scientists are not calling it the God particle because they want to be neutral. They do not want to attribute anything to God. But I guess everyone likes the idea that this would be called the God particle. Peter Higgs, who would be in the center of your picture, he was a British physicist plus a scientist from India who had developed this theory. And on the bottom, you see Stephen Hawking. He was a British theoretical physicist and author. And he bet the scientists in Switzerland and France that he bet $100 that they would never be able to find the beginning of matter. And so he lost his $100. And one good thing about Hawking, even though he doesn't want to attribute anything to God, he does believe in the beginning of the universe. So what exactly is the Higgs boson? A boson is a type of subatomic particle that imparts a force. The Higgs boson was postulated in the early 1960s by Professor Peter Higgs of Edinburgh University, who suggested that its existence could explain why matter, from atoms to planets, have mass rather than float around the universe without any mass, like photons of light. So we realize that God created the universe from what we could see to be nothing, and we're going to consider in a few minutes the word bara. So we realize that in Psalms 102, verse 25, the heavens are the work of your hands, and that would be God through the Logos. I really enjoy, this is a man-made picture, and what this illustrates is the Big Bang would be up here, and the development of the spectrum would show that the galaxies that are further away are traveling at a faster speed. The galaxies by the yellow would be traveling at a slower speed. And if you have good eyes, as you can notice, the ones by the blue would be traveling at a slower speed. So the expansion of the universe would help prove that God is in control of the universe. If the universe expanded a little faster, everything would fall apart. If the universe would expand a little slower, everything would collapse. So everything is under the supervision of God. We can now duplicate the energy of the sun. Now we're going to talk about the visible world, the scientific approach. We're going to consider that Christ, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, recorded in 1 Peter 1:20. Thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. John chapter 17, verse 24. Our next consideration is the church. just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And also in 2 Timothy 1:9 we read, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, that would be aeonian times, before times age lasting. It's taken from the Diaglot. The Big Bang. By faith we understand the ages to have been fitted together by declaration of God, to the end that not out of things appearing should that which is seen have come into existence. And this is taken from the word bara, B-A-R-A. And this would be from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, taken from Rotherham. So now we understand from this word bara would be that from this sub-Adam, God created the universe at the very beginning of time. The creation of bara in entirety of the heavens. And this appears 7 times in the Old Testament. The Big Bang. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrew, Hamayim Eretz, that would refer to the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And this is also recorded in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5. The Big Bang. The Logos was the master craftsman, recorded in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. And this would be by the creation by design. And this proves the existence of God. And when we read Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, it talks about the creation of the day, month, and year. I try to use these scriptures as much as possible because this would show, as we have the title, that would be creation by God, by design. And it says the Logos, again, was the master craftsman, and the creation would be by design. And you'll see that we have like a pocket watch on the right side, that at the present time, man can measure time. So we have a day, month, and year. Now we have a quiz for everyone. I explained a little bit about this chart, that this would be the beginning of the universe, the Big Bang, and you'll see all the galaxies expanding. So what I'd like to do, I have a little quiz for you, and you could raise your hand. It's dark. You won't be embarrassed if you have the wrong answer. So the test will be, the quiz would be that there are 0 scriptures, 1, 3, or 5. So how many feel that there are 0 scriptures to talk about the Big Bang? Good. None. Okay. B. How many feel that there's 1 scripture to talk about the Big Bang? Good. 0. How many feel that there are 3 scriptures that talk about the Big Bang? No one's responding. I don't know if that's good or bad. Okay. D. How many feel there's 5 scriptures? Very good. Very good. Everyone has the right answer. Okay. The right answer would be 5. We have 5 different books of the Bible to describe the Big Bang. We have Job 9:8, Psalms 104, verse 2. I won't read all the scriptures from Isaiah, but we have 2 scriptures in Jeremiah and 1 in Zechariah 12:1. So we're going to consider these scriptures and see how it proves the Big Bang. The visible world, this is the scientific approach. It is I, that would be God through the Logos, who made the earth and created man upon it, I stretched, and that would be the expansion of the universe, out of the heavens with my hands. Now we realize that this is mentioned, my hands, so that we would understand this. And I ordained all their hosts. I think it's very important in the scripture. It said that I ordained all their hosts. This is taken from Isaiah 45, verse 12. So stretch from Strong's 5186 means to stretch or to spread out. And this would confirm the expansion of the universe. And in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 13, we read, surely my hand founded the earth and my right hand spread out. Now you notice it says spread out. And that's the exact definition that we have in Strong. Spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. So everything is ordained and controlled by God. At the present time, the Lord has controlled our oxygen and so forth so that we would have life-sustaining atmosphere. On the left-hand side, you will notice that it's a little indicator of miles. And if you get close to 5 miles above the earth, you are going to have difficulty breathing. And if you should go up past that, you have to really move and come down quickly because you will not be able to breathe. So our atmosphere as a tent for us to dwell in. Coming back, this slide or picture illustrates the expansion of the universe, and even Einstein thought that everything traveled at the same speed. And that was, he said, the biggest mistake of his life, and he traveled to go see Hubble, who discovered the galaxies and so forth, to apologize that he realized that not everything is traveling at the same speed. In Jeremiah 10:12, we read, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out, like to emphasize, he stretched out the heavens. And this scripture is repeated for us in Jeremiah 51:15. I won't read it, but it's the same thing repeated twice, and that would be stretched out. Now we're going to quote some technical information to prove that the stretched out will prove that God was in control. And this is a quote from a book, A Matter of Days, by Hugh Ross. And Hugh Ross is a scientist and a theologian. Several Hebrew verb forms of nata are used in these verses to describe the cosmic stretching. 7 of them, I won't read those scriptures, make the reference to the stretcher out of them, the heavens, and imply continual or ongoing expansion. The other 4 verses employ the form that suggests the stretching of the heavens was in some sense established or completed. A 3rd verb form, the imperfect, is used in the combination with the active particle form in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. The first part of the verse makes reference to the ongoing expansion of the universe, while the second part of the verse is most literally translated as, and he has spread them, the heavens, out. The picture presented in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, is one of God sitting enthroned above, constantly exercising his creative power by continually stretching out the heavens, with the added reference to the past completed acts of God's spreading out of the heavens. This stretching out of the heavens, as both finished and ongoing, matches the Big Bang Theory. According to that model, all the physics, that would be the dimensions, laws, constants, and the equations of physics, were instantly created, designed, and finished so as to guarantee a continual cosmic expansion at exactly the right rates with respect to time to provide eventually for all the needs of life, human life in particular. And as I mentioned, this is a quote from a book, A Matter of Days, by Hugh Ross. So when it comes to our atmosphere of the Earth, this part has been finished. We have life-sustaining atmosphere. The visible world scriptural approach. Job 42:5 says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. We see God's invisible attributes by looking at the visible world he has created. If we were to think of the creation of the universe 15 billion years ago, that should be 14 billion years ago, and if we were trying to measure our period of time, we would be at the very end of the 6,000 years of the permission of evil. Now, if we were to change this, just for an example, if we were to condense everything to 1 year, the creation of the universe would start at the beginning of the year, and the 6,000 years of the permission of evil would be 1 minute. So we have a beautiful scripture in Psalms. We used this at the Flower and Garden Show for many years. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So God looks at time differently than we do in how we measure it. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He called them all by name. Isn't that wonderful that God could call, have a name for billions upon billions of stars? And because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. So this would encourage us to have great hope and confidence in God that all of the experiences that he chooses in our life would be for our highest spiritual welfare. And may the Lord have his blessing.